I would have liked to stay with you longer, but I find consolation in the words of Jesus. He tells us, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. The Father sends His Spirit of truth and love into the world, and the Spirit guides us in the ways of peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Well, welcome. Today is the Thursday, March 5th of the second week of Lent, and today we are your hosts, Marta Kyle.
And Tara Wolfington.
Yes. And today is the first official show of Here I Am, Lord. We haven't quite gotten the intro on the air yet, but it is the first official show. And we wanted to share with you again what Kathleen had shared with you, that she felt comfortable passing the torch for this Thursday program. And when we began to reflect on what that meant, and when she asked us to create a name for this program, we were pondering back to the earliest days when we met Kathleen, and we were trying to recall sincerely what is the most prominent messaging Kathleen had shared with us through the course of these 8 years. And even though there are hundreds and hundreds of messages and lessons that we've learned from Kathleen, for some reason, the Here I Am, Lord, just kept coming up very clearly and very distinctly. I've come to do your will. And we felt that that's what was being asked of us. So we didn't do it to steal any thunder from Kathleen. We did it more as a tribute to Kathleen, because that's one of her favorite sayings and one of her favorite songs. And we thought...
It's the motto of her life.
Exactly. And we thought it would be nice to be her echo of sorts, and continue her messaging of Here I Am, Lord. So we'll dedicate this program to Kathleen each and every week, and we'll have a little echo, a little, you know, a minute of Kathleen each week and lessons that she shared with us through these 8 years. And we thank her for trusting us and passing the torch. And we think we'll learn and grow together, right? All of us, the
All
listeners.
Of us.
And thank you for welcoming us, and thank you for tuning in today. And you'll have to bear with us as we get our sea legs in this new journey, right?
Absolutely. But I think we're all journeying together.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're all saying, Here I am, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because as Kathleen says,
yeah,
this is the greatest radio apostolate audience in the world.
Yep, exactly. Yes. And I always happen to love when Kathleen would reiterate that she holds the people in her heart, and the most important part of her apostolate is you. And you're what makes this apostolate an apostolate, right? You're
Absolutely.
The greatest. Yeah, her greatest evangelists. So we are going to carry her with us through this Thursday program. We will echo and continue her messaging, like we said. And we hope to carry the torch successfully, and we are here to do God's will. So thank you again for the warm welcome. We love you, and we mean it. And Kathleen really embodied this message in her daily life.
Yes,
and
still embodies.
And
yes.
Still embodies, yeah. I know Tara keeps correcting me. She's like, hello. She's, yeah.
Well, it's very Kathleen. Everything in her life is, you know, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
But here I am, Lord. And then she waits for the Lord to say, absolutely yes.
Yeah.
and she walks in the path.
Yeah, she shares a beautiful witness through her words and her actions and her deeds, and we are hoping to do the same as we can. We start this new chapter.
Absolutely.
In our lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this this show is named in honor of you, Kathleen, and her beautiful prayer warriors and team of evangelists. And it might be a different face and a different voice that you hear on Thursdays, but it's always going to be a continuation or an extension of Kathleen's servant's heart and her message of spreading the gospel, an example of, holding the people in God's heart and raising our hands. Here I am, Lord. That was truly the message that kept coming up again and again and again. Like I said, there was hundreds of messages and hundreds of lessons, but the most prominent one in my mind was different events where she'd say, put your hand up.
Right. Or step out in faith.
Step into grace.
I mean, everything she says is really, here I am, Lord,
to
all of us. She, every message she sends is, stand up, go do what listen to the Lord and go be his soldiers.
Mm-hmm. Holy boldness, right?
Holy boldness.
Yes. So with that said, we all say to you, we love you, Kathleen, and we mean it.
And we hope you're really enjoying your time in Florida.
Sunshine in her sunshine state. Yeah. So today we thought we would, since it's the second week of Lent, we felt that we were led to speak a little bit on peace, right? And we were going to talk about the prayer of St. Francis, and we will also open the gospel.
We should start with the prayer.
Okay.
We're going to start with
the prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury,
pardon.
And where
there
is doubt,
faith. Where there is despair,
hope.
Where there is darkness,
light.
Where there is sadness,
joy.
O divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek
to be consoled as to console,
to be understood
as to understand,
to be loved
as to love.
For it is in giving
that we receive,
and in pardoning
that we are pardoned,
and it is in dying
that we are born to eternal life.
Amen.
We knew the
flow would come eventually. It's a little rough start.
We're working out the kinks. It's okay. Yeah.
So I like that you thought I could see that.
Oh, I know.
I'm just saying.
Because your eyes are getting better. that's Tara's joke. My eyes are getting better. See, that's another Kathleenism.
Right.
You don't own that. They're not getting worse. They're getting better. So being that this is a year of St. Francis, Pope Leo XIV has proclaimed 2026, January of 2026 to January 10th of 27. It's going to be a special Franciscan Jubilee year in honor of the 800th anniversary of the death of St. Francis of Assisi. Mm-hmm. He was born in 1226 and he died on October 3rd. No, excuse me. He was born in 1811 or 1181 or 1182. Yeah. And then he died, on October 3rd of 1226. So that's 800 years. And it's a year where we're encouraged to the church, spiritual renewal, peace, simplicity, care for creation. The church is going to offer us plenary indulgence for pilgrims to Franciscan sites.
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, with the indulgences, it's always mass, confession, right?
Right. Holy Communion.
Holy Communion, and you have to have the intention of actually changing your life and have a real amendment, right? For the firm purpose of amendment in your life and to get away from whatever sins plague us the most, right? So it's a year of transformation, a movement away from darkness into light. And
I would look it up, all the things you need to do for the planetarium, because you might have to go to a special church. You might have to go to a Franciscan church or,
Yeah. Yes. And so it's really designed to be a time of spiritual renewal for the entire church. And again, as Kathleen teaches us, who is the church? We are the church, the body of Christ,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. We are all the body church. Of Christ.
Yeah, so we were going to focus on St. Francis today and delve a little bit into his prayer and meditate on his life. He was strong in faith, but he was active in good works, right?
Yes.
And the works of mercy.
Well, I think his works were a result of his love.
Sure.
Yeah. They were a fruit.
They were a fruit. He saw God's presence imprinted on creation. But he was also called, we were discussing this, we had read in some of our research that the church is hoping for, not so, so for the greater body of Christ, not to just look at St. Francis as the bird feeder and the lover of animals. And even though he saw God in creation and he saw, which is actually beautiful, that's a beautiful sentiment that he saw God in all of creation. But he was also asked by our Lord to rebuild my church. Right? He yes. had that vision in front of the cross, in front of the crucifix in San Dimino church. And he was asked to rebuild the church. And at first he took that literally. And then he understood that the Lord meant figuratively, spiritually, go out and rebuild the body of Christ, rebuild the church. And that's what he did.
He did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're going to look to St. Francis as a guide on how we can come together and how we can be peacemakers and how we can help in this time of there is a little bit of uncertainty going on in the world right now. And there's not exactly peace going on in the world right now. We're in some tumultuous times.
Absolutely.
Times such as this, right?
Right.
And we can look to St. Francis as a great example of how to try and live our lives. Because peace, they always say peace begins in the heart, one heart at a time, one home at a time, right?
Absolutely.
Mother Teresa always said, if you want to change the world, go home and start with your family, right? Go home and change.
Yeah. The family.
Yeah.
Where it all begins.
Exactly. So when we're actually looking at this prayer, make us an instrument of your peace, where there is hatred, let me so love, where there is injury, pardon. When you look to real examples, it's easy to read this prayer. It's easy to glance over it. It's easy to have warm fuzzies. You know, you sing the song, maybe get teary-eyed, and it's sentimental, right? That's an easy...
I actually wanted to break into song while we were reading it.
Yeah. That would be lovely. Go ahead.
Because when you start to read it, you do think about the song.
Yeah,
you know, and
exactly. Exactly.
And where there's doubt, true faith. I'm like, doubt, faith, don't sing, Tara. Don't sing.
Yeah. Right? But situations, you can actually ponder on different situations in your life where this is actually a really profound prayer. It's very difficult to actually live it out authentically. And we were just going to go through some different examples, right? So I always...
With this prayer could actually be like a lecto divinio. Mm-hmm. You could take a piece of it every single day and just practice it. You know, where do I see injury? And let me show pardon. Where do I see people doubting? Let me instill some faith. Mm-hmm. Despair, hope. Literally, if you took each one of those and focused on that through one day in your life,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe took, how many are there? 6, 7, 8?
Yeah.
And just spent one day at a time going down the prayer, I think it would be an incredible exercise.
Mm-hmm. Because everyone has been in these shoes. Everyone's experienced injury. And it's like, it reminds me of the Our Father prayer. And Kathleen always says, do we really forgive others as we wish to be forgiven, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that in and of itself is a big one to swallow.
So if you practice it through the day in little ways,
in
like
little ways.
Flower,
mm-hmm.
who came up when we were talking about this,
yes,
right?
Yes,
and the little
did.
Ways of the little flower, when you see people doubting through... If you start to really focus on it as you're moving through your day,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure multiple things will cross your path.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. Even if there's sickness, right, and you get diagnosed with some kind of a sickness, or you're doubting your ability to be successful in an endeavor, like maybe we were doubting our ability to be successful on this show, but we're going to have faith that this torch was passed. We were trusted by the Lord and Kathleen to start this journey. Mm-hmm. Kathleen paved the way for us. She and, you know, the Lord opened the door and asked us to walk down the path. And she already started. She already did the hard work by paving the path.
And we both told each other probably 10 times today to have faith.
Yes, we did. Absolutely. We did. Because we were doubting. And despair is a tough one. When you see people in despair, I mean, despair can be very deep and very lonely and very dark.
And it can be very light or dark. I mean, it could be deep for a little child. Like, I have grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
So despair could be, I didn't get my work done for school. I didn't. And they mm-hmm. can really take that to heart and really get all despair over things like that, right?
Yeah, sure.
My mm-hmm. friend's mad at me. I'm sure if you go, any one of these, you go through your day
mm-hmm.
and you're keenly focused on it.
Mm-hmm.
Things are going to come up where you can shed hope, light, faith.
Yep.
And pardon. Then, think about the grocery store.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the grocery store?
I always
Someone
have encounters
beat you
in the
into
grocery
that line.
Store.
Someone beats you to the registers
yeah.
when you're in a hurry.
Right. That would be, Smile. And send some peaceful thoughts.
Right. Have a nice word for them.
Exactly. Yeah. And then when it comes back to despair and hope, I always think of Maria Middleton with Think Hope. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful sentiment. And Think Hope. I mean, if you could just ponder that for a whole week. And she had some despair. I mean, she had some difficult moments that she was going to have to a road that could have led to despair, but she didn't allow it. She flipped that and she turned it into hope. And she always hoped. And then she taught that lesson is great. Schools are teaching it. Kids are reading that book. I mean, that's a huge impact that she's had on the youth with hope. And then to your point, if someone's online or they're being bullied or they're not feeling good about themselves, I mean, there's a lot of different ways that we can enter into despair and to remind ourselves to think hope, think.
Well, the eternal hope is all that carries people in times of despair, war,
mm-hmm.
death.
Yeah, people in the war-torn regions of the world today.
Anything.
I mean, for them to think hope, they're going to have to really remind themselves.
Yeah, thinking hope is something probably that everyone should train themselves to do
mm-hmm.
all through life,
any yeah.
situation in life.
Be exactly. Hopeful. Be hopeful.
Right.
Yep. So that's a nice little shout-out and tribute to Kathleen's little vessel of grace.
Yes.
Maria Middleton.
I actually have a little picture of her in my, it was on my candles in my, on my dining room table.
Yeah.
And my little granddaughter picked it up.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Look what I found, memes.
Yeah.
Look at her. She's so pretty. And she's little. She's only three, almost four.
That's cute. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's even, she must even have a look of glow that the little one noticed.
Mm-hmm. You know? Absolutely.
A glow of hope on her that even the little three-year-old found, inspiring.
Yeah.
So she was carrying her picture around the house. It was very cute.
That is cute. Yeah. See? Absolutely. And then you could even tell her about Think Hope. Where there is darkness, light. Same concept. When you're in a period of darkness, it could be interior darkness. It could be just a moment in your life where you're feeling situations aren't going to change or it's going to be too hard a mountain for you to climb. And then being a light to somebody who is in that darkness.
Or knowing that the day follows the night.
Yeah.
The light will come.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So be the light or have the hope that the light is coming.
Yeah, exactly. One leads right into the next.
Yes.
And when there is sadness, joy, that can be a tough one too. Sometimes sadness, you have to experience sadness. You walk in times of sadness, but... same thing, you can bring joy to someone who's in sadness or when you're experiencing your own sadness, remember that the joy of the Lord, right? Our hope is in the joy of the Lord.
Yeah.
How about that?
Well, when you're sad, you do joy. Jesus others you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get out of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
And seek the Lord,
yep.
seek other people.
Exactly.
Especially when you're in sadness.
Mm-hmm.
You have to seek help.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Call someone. Say I'm feeling sad or...
Yep.
You know?
Yes.
Go to Jesus, go to others, and think about, you know, to yourself, being true to yourself that, yes, you you need to seek out.
Yeah.
And people shy away from sadness.
Yeah.
If you see someone that's sad, it's not a natural inclination to jump in.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm. There's a time for everything, right? A season for everything. Even in, for some reason, the darkness, light, sadness, joy reminded me of last week we were in prayer group with Kathleen and the gospel was on the transfiguration. And she had asked us to think about that. And so in thinking about that, I actually happened upon something on the internet, and it was a talk. And his perspective was that Peter, James, and John were, Peter actually most of all, they were kind of focused inwardly. They were focused on themselves because he said, Lord, it is good that we are here. Let me build three tents for you. I don't want to leave this place. This right. feels good. We're in the light. Let's just hang out on the top of this mountain. It's awesome. We don't ever have to come down. And the idea was to take your eyes off of yourself and put them onto Christ. And he was showing you he was in the light, but he also said, no, that's not the right thinking. I have to go down the mountain and I have to go to the cross. I have to go to the
right.
crucifixion, and you're coming with me. Mm-hmm. Happy day. You're coming with me. And our Lord was very peaceful.
But that was a message of hope too.
Yeah.
He was showing them
mm-hmm.
his divine side, his divine self. He was mm-hmm. actually showing them what the resurrection was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that there was a message light. Of hope.
Yeah, it yeah. was. And yeah. a message of light, right?
Yeah.
And even though he had to walk through that dark valley, there was going to be a lot of light at the end of that. And that the Lord was with him every step of the way. So, O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, and to be understood as to understand. I think that one is one of the hardest ones to embrace and embody, and you would have to practice that a lot and over and over and over to have that be a natural grace in your life, and pray for the grace that you're able to do that, because
that's a humility prayer.
Yeah.
Let me not desire to be first. Let me not desire to be known.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that's all.
Yeah. But when you're in the, when you're in a hole and you need to be consoled or you're really sick, actually, I have a little story about that one. When I was in the hospital with the brain aneurysm, there was a lovely man. He was a Eucharistic minister, and he came in to bring me the Eucharist, and that was lovely. And this was probably only like 5 days post-surgery, and I knew that I had an 18-day window, right? That this operation, the coil could actually come done within those first 18 days. And when he came in, selfishly, I think you're looking to be consoled, right? So he sat down and he started to speak. And in his sharing, the Lord actually really showed me, it was kind of a cool day, that he needed to be consoled, and that not for me to look to be consoled, but to console this man. He had just lost his dog and he was really, really sad. Mm-hmm. And because I said, how are you today? And he said, I'm really sad. I'm really, really sad. I need some help. And then I was like, wait, what? You're looking at me for like, you got to be kidding me, right?
My head is pounding.
Yeah. I'm like, I actually could die like any
pain
day now.
Going down my spine.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was a little bit of scared to death myself. And I'm like, wait a minute, Lord, you like, I have to help this guy out because his dog just died and he's really sad. But then I actually, it was a moment of grace, honest to God. I was laying in that bed and I was like, no, actually, exactly what we just said. Get your mind off yourself.
Right.
And look at this guy. He's in a little bit of darkness. He's extremely sad. He loved this dog. He lived alone and his dog was his companion, right? Mm-hmm. So this was a great loss for him. And he was really sad and it was sudden. So he actually needed to be consoled. And whenever I read this prayer, I think of that. And it took me a minute to get my head wrapped around that. And it took me a minute to be able to like start to talk to him and ask him questions. What was your dog's name? And be sincere about it. Not be like, oh, really? What was your dog's name?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
How old was your dog?
Can't you see I'm hurting?
What's the matter with you, buddy?
Don't you see me?
But that was like a real moment of that.
Yeah.
And It was not exactly easy. And as a matter of fact, even after he left, it stayed with me. I was like, all right, you selfish little nincompoop. You need, you know, that was God showing you.
But when you're really stuck in something, you have to go help another person to,
and it helps
to get
you
out of
get
it.
Out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was kind of a cool.
Yeah.
That People was a God moment.
Other. People need each other.
Yes. So I actually, that man was a great help to me, and he brought me light and he brought me out of myself. And it's easy to get into that mode when you're in those types of situations, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
Absolutely.
That's my console, to be consoled. And understood, to understand. For me, any kind of relationship, when you want so badly for a person to understand your point of view, and you're trying so hard to convey your point of view, and it's so mm-hmm. frustrating when you don't feel understood.
Yes.
And to remind yourself to step back and say, wait a minute, let me see it from his perspective, or let me try and understand what he's saying. That can really turn a relationship around. That can really turn a situation around.
Yeah.
It's rather remarkable, actually.
It's another get out of yourself.
Yeah. So this prayer is kind of, it's really unbelievable. And they say St. Francis, they say the author is unknown, but it's attributed to St. Francis because he embodied this. He lived this prayer so beautifully.
Right. It mirrors his life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yeah. he brought a lot of people together, people that needed to be understood. Even that story with the wolf, where he went into the town and the wolf was harassing all the people in the yeah. town. And St. Francis was able to go and be a peacemaker. And he convinced the wolf to stop harassing the people, and he promised to feed them, right?
Yeah.
And he brought peace to the situation. But those people wanted to be understood. But he, St. Francis, he was able to understand what they were suffering from.
He could talk to the animals.
He could talk to the animals because he saw the face of God in all of creation. And that's kind of cool. I think we forget and we take it for granted. I think we take our daily little
Yeah, it's like when they say, if you want to find God, go outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a little yeah. acronym, go outdoors, because it's everywhere. And when you contemplate it, it's unbelievable how seeds go from a seed and no one knows how they grow.
Mm-hmm.
And they grow that little...
To the mighty oak. Or to
you
the,
know, the you little... Know. Just for fun. My kids like avocados. So we went through this little spurt. And I said, all these avocado seeds. And there's a lot of pots, you know, in my kitchen. So I said, just for mm-hmm. fun, as I was walking by, I'm just going to stick two seeds in this pot. I just stuck two avocado seeds
yeah.
in the pot.
Yeah.
And they grew.
That's amazing, right?
I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
I just stuck them in the pot.
Yeah.
And they started to grow, and then the dog ate them. Not even kidding. I was so upset. They were little trees, and the dog ate them.
Yeah.
And I was upset, but I put it back in the pot, and I put the soil back around, and I'll be darned. They grew
they
again.
Grow again.
They're about this high.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they're going to be trees. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. As a matter
so
of fact,
everything's miraculous.
Said, it is.
Nature.
It is.
Crazy.
And we do not know how it works. It's
no.
all the mystery of God, right? Yeah. Someone jokingly said that we should do a show on how to plant a garden.
Well, we could
were
do
you
that.
With me? No. They were like, you no. should actually do a show on how to plant a garden. Because maybe people don't know how to grow. I would imagine most people of our listening audience, they probably know how to grow a garden. But I, for one, really do not. I don't have a green thumb at all.
Well, anybody can put the plant in the ground and have the miracle
really?
Of it growing.
You just put maybe the avocado everyone. Seed.
But there's a lot more to it, like what plants should be next to each other, where, how should you turn the soil and switch the plants up every couple of years, because different plants take different nutrients. So I've been gardening a long time, so I have picked things up.
Mm-hmm. So Tara, one time we are going to share about how to grow a good garden.
In a few weeks.
Spiritually
when it's time
in your real garden.
Because I just bought a whole bunch
the
of books.
Garden of your soul.
And there's certain seeds that you should buy, right? You
yes.
don't want genetically processed seeds. So,
right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there are things to be said about gardening.
Yes,
but
absolutely.
That avocado seed just came right out of that avocado. There was nothing I did. I just put it in the soil.
Very good.
And well, I did water it.
Okay, with that, we are going to go to break. Believe it or not, the first half hour is over. Thank you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back.
Welcome back
to Here I Am, Lord, with your hosts, Marta Kyle
and Tara Wolfington.
And we're so happy that you're with us today. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for walking this journey with us. So we promised you we would read the gospel. We're going to keep that part of the program. And today's gospel.
Wait, let's first do her announcements.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry. All right. So Wake Up America 2026.
Someone does beautiful baskets, I heard.
I don't know who that would be.
I heard the auction baskets are fabulous every year.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's the 250th birthday of America. America dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It benefits the radio In His Sign Catholic Radio.
Mm-hmm.
So you can register for the event. It's Sunday, April 26th from 1:30 to 5:30. It's at Malvern Retreat House, which is in Malvern, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get the registration form, I believe, on the website.
Yes.
So it's, you can come as a single person, a couple, or purchase a table. And,
it could be a red, white, or blue sponsor.
Right. You can sponsor the whole event. You can sponsor the luncheon. You can sponsor a raffle gift.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all kinds of different levels. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful day. It's a fun day.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people come out.
Yeah, absolutely. This year, it's Sunday, April 26th.
Mm-hmm.
It's bumped. Usually it's the Sunday after Divine Mercy Sunday. But this year, Kathleen was able to bump it 1 week further out. But it's actually cool. Because it aligns with the 250th birthday of America. And the theme is Proclaim Liberty Throughout the Land Unto All the Inhabitants. That's Leviticus.
Yes.
So that is a beautiful day. Come out and see Kathleen. Hear Kathleen speak. That's how I made it to my first Wake Up America dinner. That's that silly story where someone had posted on Facebook very lovingly, "Come hear Kathleen McCarthy speak." And I thought to myself, that sounds awesome. I'm going to go do that. And I showed up in my sweatpants and sneakers thinking I was just going to a talk. And here it was, the Wake Up America dinner.
And you just sat down.
Well, and people
at
were
a family's table.
I sat down at the wrong table. It was a reserved table. And actually, speaking of peace, these people were so lovely. They were so welcoming. They were very hospitable. They didn't make me feel like a moron at all, because it took me like 10 minutes into the night to figure out. Once they all started sitting around, and I realized they were all family, and I was like, "What's going on here?" And I said, "Is this your table?" And they were like, "Yes, it is." And I look over, and it's like reserved. It couldn't have been bigger. I'm like, I missed the sign. But they allowed me to stay with them. They insisted I stay at the table.
Yeah, that was great.
Which was really nice. They said a couple people had backed out so that there was room for me at the table. And that makes a big, that welcoming a newcomer, especially, you know, a
when they're by themselves.
When they're by themselves and they didn't even know what they were going to. But isn't that how the Lord works?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not even properly dressed. We were talking the Lazarus story already.
Exactly. It was really embarrassing. You'd come into a big event
looking like a bum.
And they were nice
to me anyway.
Someone
spread joy and was hospitable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
And then after that is when you started on me. You have to come.
Yeah.
You have to come to an event.
Exactly.
Which leads right into the next thing, Divine Mercy Retreat.
Yes. Very important.
Yes.
The 20th
so this is
annual.
The weekend after Easter.
Yeah.
As everyone knows, Divine Mercy, Sunday. So
April 10th to the 12th, Malvern Retreat House. You can sign up by visiting www.divinemercyretreat.com to register.
So this is a fabulous retreat.
It's going to be with Bishop Ephron Esmelia.
Yes, that's awesome.
Reverend Stephen DeLacy.
Always a crowd favorite.
Always a crowd favorite. And of course,
Kathleen McCarthy. Get out your pom-poms.
Woo! Put your hands up and say, "Here I am, Lord."
Here
Let's see
I
you
am,
at
Lord.
All these events.
Yes. Wake up,
beautiful
America.
Listeners.
So they're both really awesome events.
Really awesome.
And Divine Mercy, you're right there. It's the you love to talk about Divine Mercy Sunday.
It's one of my favorites, and Faustina's one of your favorites.
Yeah.
But Divine Mercy Sunday is, actually, it is one of my favorite subjects to talk about. We have a joke with our brother-in-law, Zach DiCarlo, who loves the plenary indulgence.
You have to tell him about St. Francis. That it's the year he can get yet another one.
Exactly. So we saw him last week, and we said, hey, we let him know it is the year of St. Francis, and you are up for another plenary indulgence, Mr.
Yes.
DiCarlo. And he gets very excited about that.
Yes,
but
he does.
But we told him the difference is between just like following the plenary indulgence versus Divine Mercy Sunday. Divine Mercy Sunday, if you follow the prompts of the Mass, confession, praying for the Pope, right?
Right, right.
Setting your intentions for the Pope and,
right.
and
receiving the Eucharist.
It will wipe away all your sins and the temporal punishment due to the sins.
Right.
I mean, you get a clean slate, folks. That's actually unbelievable. I call it the get out of jail free card. And if you
instituted by Jesus himself through Faustina.
Yeah, because of his great mercy. His mercy. I mean, Kathleen says it all the time too, right?
Yeah.
His mercy. I mean, that's an unbelievable gift that he's offering us. And if you don't take advantage of it, we're going to read the gospel. You might end up like poor little Lazarus crying out, please help me.
But what's nice about the retreat is it's all bundled up and you really understand it and they speak on it. And, you know, it's just such a warm, loving feeling of just diving into Jesus's mercy for the whole weekend. And you really come out just full of the Spirit and clean.
And clean with the fresh. I mean, that's.
It's one of my favorite of the year.
So beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are two goodies. Wake Up America Dinner, Divine Mercy Retreat. See you there.
See you there.
Call into the studio if you have any questions or you can't find it. Okay.
Yeah. And if you can't make the retreat, don't forget to just participate in the Divine Mercy Weekend through your own parishes or whatnot. Anyway, it's really important, especially for a time such as this. That's what we're always reminded of. Our Lord gives us these graces and these gifts because we are living in such tumultuous times, right?
Absolutely.
And with that, we are going to read today's gospel, which is Luke 16, 19 to 31. Would you like to read it or you want me to?
You go for it.
Okay. Jesus said to the Pharisees, there was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dined sumptuously each day. And lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. And from the nether world, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, "Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames." Abraham replied, "My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing, who might wish to go from our side to yours, or from your side to ours." He said, "Then I beg of you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment." But Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." He said, "Oh, no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." Then Abraham said, "If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead." It's the gospel, today's gospel.
Amen.
Amen.
That's a biggie.
It's a little heavy, but it's a great reminder. It does tie into St. Francis and his ability to see God in everyone and in everything, in every person and in nature.
Well, just to notice of living that everything in the world is from the Lord, where the rich man allowed himself to be so tied up in his, fixated on his life that he didn't have any needs. So he really didn't look beyond his own little cocoon of luxury. Right? And so then that made him blind to the suffering of the people. Probably made him blind to the growing of the fruit, the growing of the food he was so sumptuously eating. Who grew it, where it grew, you know.
Yeah. Spiritual blindness.
Spiritual blindness to, you know, everything.
Yeah. And when we were discussing this gospel, we were reminded keenly of Mother Teresa for some reason, that she really came to our minds and our hearts because she so lovingly embraced the poor and embraced anyone that she passed on the street. And she saw the face of Christ in every human being. And she tended to them beautifully, right?
Yeah, we had a little trifecta of saints, but then we also talked about Little Flower. Because she did even little things, even if he had stepped outside and given him a little glass of water.
Yeah.
You know, a tiny little thing done in great love, anything. Let the servant go out.
Yeah.
But he was so blind to it, his wealth and his entrapments of this world just kept him blind to other people and suffering.
And their needs. And
so that goes right back to St. Francis.
He was not seeking to understand.
St. Francis wasn't seeking to be in a purple robe. You know, he didn't want the beauty that man made, that man gathered and produced and put together and built into a house and made him a purple robe. And, like, he went out into the world. And he grew up in wealth.
St. Francis did.
Yeah, but he chose poverty. So he, you know,
lady poverty.
Because he found comfort and peace in nature, which is where you go to find that.
Yeah, and St. Francis actually had a joy in that, we were saying. He was very joyful when you read the Canticle of the Sun. It's a very joyful prayer, and you can see he found the joy in nature. He found the joy in poverty. He found the joy in everything, every aspect of God's creation. And he struggled. I mean, St. Francis did not have an easy life, but he found the joy, and he spread the joy, and he brought peace.
Yeah. So that was St. Francis. That was 800 years ago. He died in 1226. And then 624 years later came our St. Francis Xavier Cabrini. Mm-hmm. So she was very influenced by St. Francis. Mm-hmm. And she went out and helped the poor and tried to rebuild the church. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so she was 600 years after Francis, after St. Francis, to St. Francis to Cabrini. Mm-hmm. And then actually, Mother Teresa was very young when Cabrini died. I think mm-hmm. she was 6 years old, did we say?
Yeah, 6 or 7. Mm-hmm.
But then by the time that Cabrini was made a saint, she actually went to the canonization. And mm-hmm. she was very touched by Cabrini's life. Mm-hmm. And she went on to start her own missionary Sisters of the Poor. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
So all three of those saints sort of tagged off each other, right? Well, St. Francis, then St. Francis Cabrini, and then Mother Teresa mm-hmm. in 46 at the canonization. Turned around right after that, and I think somewhere between 46 and 1950, she started her order.
Yeah. And then she saw, like we said, the face of Christ in the poor. And when she was tending to their wounds, they weren't always necessarily friendly back. They weren't necessarily happy to have to be tended to. So it wasn't always this same thing. I think you can glaze over these things, right? You can think, oh, that's so lovely. She went out and tended to the poor and they were so grateful. Well, they weren't always. They gave her a little bit of a hard time, mm-hmm. but she tended to them anyway. And then they would ask her questions like, why are you doing this? Why are you
What's your motive?
Yeah. 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 Why are you picking maggots out of my sores and all that stuff? She really helped lepers and the poor and the sick and the dying. And she helped them die with dignity. And she would explain to them because she saw the face of Christ in everybody. And then eventually, in most of the stories you read about Mother Teresa, the person that she was tending to did have a change of heart. And they were able to die in peace. They were able to die in joy. They were able... they didn't really want to be consoled all the time. I mean, they actually resisted it.
Well, if you're cast out and you're in the gutter and you're...
Yeah, and they were a little... They were...
You're in a place of darkness.
Yeah. She brought light. She did that whole St. Francis prayer.
Well, sometimes you're not looking for light and joy when you're in the darkness.
Right.
And you're
used to being in the darkness, so it's a little bit hard.
And you question why people would bother with you. Mm-hmm. Why would you bother with me? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But she has a famous poem that she wrote, Do It Anyway. So people are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. And there's a lot of stories of her in her life where people, even when she was trying to build things, they would go and intentionally try and ruin or rip down what she built. There's so many stories that woman really lived.
It's a thing.
This poem.
They did it to Cabrini too.
Yeah, exactly. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. That's a tough one. That's
a
tough one.
That is a tough one. It's very true.
Yeah. So that is for any businessman or woman out there, for anyone who you don't always know who your true friends are, right?
Right. But you also, you know, you could tie that one back to the...
to the gospel.
To the rich man. Mm-hmm. Right? Who mm-hmm. also became so rich and had so much luxury that he just closed it off.
Yeah. You know?
Because mm-hmm. he probably got a lot of attitude, too. So he just stayed in his little cocoon, as they call it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you are honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend a lot of years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. That's what I was thinking of. She spent a lot of time building certain things and people in Calcutta and these in the beginning. They really gave her a run for her money.
Yeah.
If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. So these are all great little reflections to think about in our lifetimes, because these are tough situations that come up. Mm-hmm. And the good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow, but do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough, but give the world the best you've got anyway. Right?
Absolutely.
And these are all the exact opposite things of what the rich man in the gospel did today. These are all like the exact what to do's and the...
And the what not to do's.
And the what not to do's.
So, I mean, it was interesting, the little reflection we found on the rich man. He had the sin of indifference, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. He wasn't condemned for having money. He was condemned for his callousness, which made him blind to the suffering right outside of his door. Mm-hmm. Right? So at the end of his life, he didn't go into the abyss because of the fact that he was rich. It was his daily choices and his opportunities to show mercy mm-hmm. that he walked past.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure if just like the prayer of St. Francis, if you took a little piece every day and you thought about it,
yeah.
there are opportunities in
big and small ways.
Our world. Mm-hmm. I know in my mail, which is mm-hmm. mostly junk. It's either junk or fundraising. Mm-hmm. You know how people always send me the nickels?
Yes, yes, yes. When they tape the nickels to the piece of paper and then they ask you to mail back a little donation.
They want you to open it.
Yes.
It's very clever.
Yeah,
I think it's very clever.
I've spent
some years in fundraising.
Yeah.
But even that with, and I always take them and I put them in a little pile on my desk and I say, well, here's 10 that interest me outside of my normal giving. And I'm going to look at these, and half the time I throw them away. And then during Lent, because I'm cleaning the desk or something, you know. And
yeah.
But St. Jude Hospital is always one that, like, hits me. That's just me. And so the other day I was like, okay, Tara, stop being busy and cleaning the desk. Sit down and actually send a donation to these people. Do you know what I mean? And you get... the poor, the hungry, there's 10 a day in my mail. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the zip code or what, but it's we have opportunities right at our fingertips is my point.
Yeah. It could be that way. It could be, I don't know.
Go down to the food kitchen. It could be anything.
Yeah.
But in serving, you bring joy to yourself. Mm-hmm. And in choosing to serve, you know, this man... You know, he chose not to see and not to have mercy. Therefore, he had no mercy. Right?
Yeah.
So just choose a little way.
A little way every day.
Whether you send a little something to St. Jude, or you go down to the soup kitchen, or you bring diapers, or you give blood. There's a big blood shortage right now.
Yeah, giving blood's a big one. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even call that a small one. And then just serving your family every day. We always look to the outside world, just serving your own family. Being present to your spouse, being present to your children, not being too busy for them, not making them feel like you're too busy for them.
Right.
Even cooking dinner. I find cooking dinner to be a total drag.
What's for dinner?
And I'm always looking for ways to cheat the system.
Because you're at the bottom of five children, you've made a lot of dinners.
Yeah, exactly. But even just being peaceful about it and making the dinner and serving the dinner in love instead of being like grumpy and smacking the pots and pans around.
What do
and being
you like, mean Rah. You don't like that chicken?
Yeah. Exactly. Or exactly, if you cook dinner and no one eats it or they say they don't like it, you're like, what? I'm going to kick you in the shins.
Do you know what it took for freedom?
Exactly. So my kids are famous for telling me they stopped at Chipotle or they stopped off at this spot or they stopped off at that spot. And I said, why do I bother cooking dinner if you guys are going to stop off and eat before you get home? You drive me crazy, right?
Right.
And then on the nights maybe you don't make dinner, they want to know what's for dinner. I'm like, oh, really? What happened to
and
Chipotle?
And that's when you get those little containers from the back of the church and you put separated out and you give them to someone else.
Exactly. And you keep peace in your heart and in your home.
That's right.
Holy cow.
And you have to get upset and you did your charity.
Exactly.
We just really figured out something.
I know. And then you're actually thanking your kids for going to Chipotle for dinner because now
you they allowed you to do charity.
Exactly.
With a smile.
With a smile. With big a smile.
Oh, my gosh.
Kathleen's favorite thing to do is make reservations.
That's right. And why not?
And why not? Because she raised her 12 children, and she made lots of spaghetti
same
dinners.
Thing. She made a lot of dinners, too.
Yes, she did. So there's joy. There can be joy in anything. See that? You took the darkness, and you turned it to light.
Right, because you have to think of Jesus
household.
First, others, and then yourself. That's how you find joy.
Mm-hmm. That is right. Right. Yeah.
Seek to serve others. Mm-hmm. And you end up helping yourself.
Exactly.
To leftovers if your kids don't eat dinner. So Lazarus and divine mercy. Lazarus means God has helped, and he represents the silent cry of the poor. Mm-hmm. His comfort in heaven highlights that God sees and honors those disregarded by the world. And that is very true.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Care for the needy.
Yeah, so even when you walk by, say you're in the city and you walk by the homeless, right? But mm-hmm. you don't have, I never have cash on me, right? So you don't have any, you don't have a
I
little,
will attest to that.
Yeah. So I don't have a dollar to drop in the pot, or I don't have like a, some people walk around with pre-made baggies of a rosary plus a little snack plus a bottle of water or something.
Socks.
And
they'll sweet, go out. Salty. And
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if I'm walking through the city, I'll just stop and say a prayer for them. I'll just stop and, you know. Pray for their souls and pray for my own soul and pray for everybody that they too.
Right. And if there's an opportunity to engage, mm-hmm. you know, they'll tell you, ask. If you want to give someone dignity and you want to do a little something for them, you begin by asking their name because you put, you give them dignity by knowing their name.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know their name and you just...
Hint, right.
Oh, here's a baggie I made. Mm-hmm. You know, would you like this baggie? And you walk on.
That's
but
still
if you
kinda
stop
cool.
and
yeah.
you say,
engage.
Mm-hmm. What's your name?
Yeah.
How are you today?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I made these bags. Would you want one?
Right.
You yeah. have to take one. You know what I mean? It's like,
yes.
If you ask their name, it changes the entire experience mm-hmm. because you personalize,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, and you're sincere and you care. You can't be insincere. So if you're sincere and you care, that makes all the difference.
Yeah.
You spread a little love and you spread a little joy in this year
of St.
Francis.
And then you can pray for them by name.
And you can see Christ in them, just like St. Francis and Mother Teresa saw Christ in everybody.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we are at the bottom of the hour here and the top of the next hour, however we say that. And so we would like to encourage you to stay tuned and listen to Dr. Anton Raimondo. He is up next. He always has beautiful insights. And he's worth the listen.
Yes.
And we want to thank you again for listening to us and spending this hour with us. And we do. We have one more minute so we can wrap up with.
So I was going to say we people that we know used to tune in by going through Kathleen's Facebook, but now we won't be there on her page anymore because we're not sitting in. It's more to show now. So you can go to In His Sign Catholic Radio on Facebook and you can pick us up there.
Yeah. It's also on 800 AM WTMR. There's a WTMR app, but I would imagine that In His Sign Catholic Radio Facebook page would be the best way to look so you could see and hear us.
And on their website, you can listen in
mm-hmm.
if you don't have a radio. Someone said to me, I don't have a radio. I mean, what do you mean you're on the radio? You turn into the radio.
That's kind of funny.
I said we could go on the computer and get into the radio station.
Yeah.
Right? So you can just go to their website.
Yeah.
And we'll put in one last pitch for Divine Mercy Retreat the weekend after Easter. And the Wake Up America dinner, Sunday, April 26th. We'd love to see you there.
Yep.
It's
fun when we
night,
get to see each
cause.
Other in person. Yeah. It's always a really fun day, fun night.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So thanks again for joining us. You're the best. We love you. And without you, we wouldn't have this radio program.
And we'll see you next week.
Yes.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia.